You're listening to Compassion Radio. Welcome back to Compassion Radio, the place where rubber truly meets the road. Yesterday, we started the conversation with Dr. James Jennings of Conscious International for his latest report on the efforts to reach out in peace and relief in the Middle East. If you know anything about our partnership in the past, you know how essential it's been that people who really know the terrain lead us to the right people and the right places. And Dr. Jim is one of those people that is just absolutely indispensable for the kingdom. Yesterday, he shared with us a bit about his plans to speak at a peace conference in Portugal and then to move on as quickly as possible to make an effort to reach into Gaza with desperately needed medical supplies that they've been waiting to place for quite a while now. We'll recap the beginning of the program today as Dr. Jim was discussing yesterday about what it's like to really sit down with the worst possible actors in the middle of a civil war and how they turn out to be absolute gems in the kingdom of God. And Jim knows this firsthand.
To be arrested by these people, to be threatened, to be questioned, interrogated, is no fun at all. But you can also connect with them on an authentic level and tell them, this is what I believe, and why do you believe the way you do?
And you've exemplified that, and Norm showed that to me over the years. You go where God sends you to go. I just finished watching a couple weeks ago the miniseries that they did in Britain about the bombing of the Pan Am flight back in 1989. And Muammar Gaddafi's agents being behind that and how long it took them to solve. But it was a private doctor who lost a daughter on that flight that persisted towards justice. And the notion of what justice was had to be challenged and really thought through all through that series. What does it really mean to pursue justice for the oppressed and those who were injured or killed by those who committed violence? And it was always a question of background that never quite resolved well. But he was one of those people that did the same kind of ethical behavior in the presence of his enemies that you talk about, Jim. There's scenes of him stepping right up to Muammar Gaddafi and actually choosing to shake the hand and to actually dialogue with an individual, a person there. The respect that's gained by someone who's willing to stand for those who are oppressed, to those who have power get it. Lives are in the palm of their hands. But they respond to those whose lives are in the heart of the king. They know they have prophets in their midst. And prophets, I think, have always been about standing for the oppressed and standing for those who cannot speak. The word from God to a king is always going to be about his chosen children, the ones he cares about the most anyway. And you've done both. You've walked right into the courts of power and you've walked into the refugee camps and handed out food supplies. You want to, at the end of this coming trip, not just talk to professors. You want to go on and proceed straight to the Holy Land and go into the West Bank and Gaza, if they'll let you. Why do you tend to do these things at the same time you do these junkets where you're doing lectures?
Well, they paid for my ticket is one reason.
You're halfway there, aren't you?
But I'm halfway there. But I'm flying into the war zone in the West Bank and hopefully Gaza, if the UN people will cooperate with me.
Yeah.
But, Bram, I have to tell you that some of my fondest memories are traveling with you into war zones in Central Africa and in Eastern Europe and various places, but also with Norm Nelson, whom I love very much, and we had such a companionship and friendship and the same objectives, and with Brother Andrew as well. So those are among my fondest memories. The objectives were the same, the willingness to take risks and to be involved in some of the heavy lifting of investigating how do we help these people. The
yeah.
problems are enormous. We need help. We need people to stand alongside us to encourage that. But I went into Syria and met with the dictator Bashar al-Assad. Mm-hmm. And some people said, well, you shouldn't do that. And one Syrian who had been imprisoned, he said, I'm not a supporter of Assad. I said, why? He said, Ibn Hayya Hayya in Arabic, the son of a snake is a snake.
Yeah.
But I met with him in the interest of peace. And now he's, after such a long time, he didn't take our advice to reform his country. And the result is 600,000 Syrians dead and 5 or 6 million, even more, fled the country. It's been devastated. They have to reconstruct the country. We can try, and we can fail, and we can try again. But I think that you, Norm Nelson, Brother Andrew, had the same spirit.
We are never called to not speak truth. So even if it's not taken, it's not accepted, if God puts us in a place where we can speak truth to power, we're mandated to do this. and not because we are superior or because we have some kind of moral superiority complex. We don't go in there to proclaim our innocence and their culpability in crimes. We are simply there to say what God has put on our lips to speak because we know it's true. It's from His Word. It's from His people. It's from the facts on the ground. We can't not tell the truth. But you also have learned the silver tongue, which is to be able to speak the language that can be heard so that the truth embedded within the message can be taken in. And possibly, sometimes, it's taken to heart. But either way, God's heart, I know, is moved by those who are willing to say the truth when necessary, even at personal cost. And you've been that example to me. So you got to speak truth this next trip. If I could get you to boil it down to one simple message you would try to get across to your academic friends and then perhaps to other people who are in power on the ground that are still prosecuting these wars in Gaza and the West Bank, what's God laying on your heart right now that you feel like you got to say it or you're going to die?
Conscience International believes that human conscience is part of the imago Dei, or the image of God, in each one of us. So I can talk to the worst murderer or dictator on earth and know that somewhere there, even though it doesn't appear so, there is a human conscience as a part of creation. If you can touch that, you can perhaps make progress. I've stopped wanting to be a peacemaker because Scripture says, blessed are the peacemakers. Sometimes we can't make peace. We can only advocate peace. So yeah. I rather would say I'm a peace advocate. And that should appeal to everybody on all sides of any conflict. I think to go there and to represent that we accept your humanity, we don't accept your deeds, we want to see a correction in this current situation to save souls of other people's lives who are being destroyed by this terrible conflict. And we see it all over the world. Sudan, where we worked for years, and Darfur, is much on my heart. They have 9 million people displaced and refugees.
They still haven't been able to come home, have they?
And you were with me in Democratic Republic of Congo, or at least on the border in Goma, where in North Kivu, DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo, where one of the most terrible wars in any century has taken place. And there are like millions. I don't know the exact number, but the last I heard it was 7 million. It advanced to many more. Because when they went into Goma, there were 3,000 dead bodies laying on the streets. The Heal Africa Hospital there is a Christian hospital that we are supporting and we're involved with. And they were affected by this takeover. So wherever you go, there are people who are listening to the voice of God and are obeying the call to peace.
And I would say, advocating for my own people here, listen to people of peace here. I'm not talking about peace nicks who have a certain political bent on one side and have a political agenda and a platform. I'm talking about people of peace, the kind of people that God has built peace into so they can look at great conflicts or upheavals and say, calm. I'll bring peace to this table. I'll pour the tea. I'll bring the food. Let's talk. Let's reason together. And let's pray through these things. I would say we have a real need in America right now to be able to listen to our peace mongers, the people that just spill over with peace, and spend time with them and let them guide us and calm our spirits when we're all agitated by a media who doesn't want peace. They want action or activism that makes them money. We're really, I think, under assault in our culture right now with those who desperately do not want peace and peacefulness in this nation. So what do you say to those who are never going to get out of their hometowns but are hearing this broadcast right now?
I think it's a sad situation because our education only takes us to a certain point, and then the rest comes from outside sources. The more I see, the more I realize that we have to get beyond that and to find other ways of communicating. And it could be by reading Scripture. It could be by reading great novels. It could be that you get insight into human condition.
And your heart gets moved.
But I'm a great advocate for history and geography. The intersection of those two things is what I'm going to talk about in the peace conference that I'm attending in Europe. And I was invited there to speak, and so I'm going to share that perspective. All of us need to get beyond our fourth grade and 10th grade education.
Amen to that. Well, give me an example, Jim. You got 50 years or so of this kind of travel that's focused on these issues beyond just your other career as an archaeologist before that. Give me an example of one thing that's, or an encounter you had, or a tent you sat in, or a cup of tea you drank, or some kid that sang a song in your lap, or something across all those decades, which just always comes back to remind you that God is in this.
It's amazing. I can cite things from Uzbekistan in the former Soviet Union, way out east in Central Asia, from Afghanistan as well. But I will tell you that in Pakistan, on the border of Afghanistan, I met a bearded gentleman who looked like he was one of the most evil Taliban fighters you could ever imagine. But he had become a Christian. He didn't change his costume. He still looked like a what we call a terrorist. But he grabbed me by the lapels. He took me into a room and closed the door and locked it. Mm. And he said, "Tell me more about Christ. Tell me more about the gospel." And he was hungry. Mm. So don't give up on anybody anywhere in the world. They can come to understand the gospel of peace, the good news of peace. Yeah. There are other cases where I had also in Pakistan a group of young men, 18, 19 years old. They took me and sat around the table and begged me to tell them about the biblical teachings. Mm. I don't see that in our country, Bram, I'm sorry to say. I think that we have a pablum-oriented news media, and the culture is going right along with that. But there are some deep and authentic themes. You talked about justice. Plato and his students discussed what is real justice. Where are the people now here in our day, in our country, that are serious about understanding truth and love and justice and peace in their real meaning? And that's something that we must advocate.
We've got more coming up from Dr. Jim Jennings of Conscious International right after this. Compassion Radio has been committed to bringing you the truth about what God is really doing in the world and how He is bringing about the salvation, redemption, life, and growth of His kingdom wherever it is to be found. So much has changed and is changing in this world. At the same time, I'm discovering in a deeper way how absolutely consistent God is in times of trial. So I'll ask you, will you help? Just call today with your first gift and consider making it monthly. Call us 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California 92877. And our website is CompassionRadio.com. If you're on the move right now, you can also text Compassion to 53445 to make your gift immediately. God bless you. And now, back to our discussion.
Where are the people now here in our day, in our country, that are serious about understanding truth and love and justice and peace in their real meaning? And that's something that we must advocate.
When we sit down, people like you describe this man in Pakistan, who on all outward appearances, until you see his eyes light up, you would say, "This is death in front of me. I'm scared of this." Until it drags you into a closet, locks you in there, and then the soul comes out with force because you're seeing a famine of desire for the things of God. And you can deliver on that. You can actually tell him something. "This is from my wealth of my life. I give this to you as peace." And you give that man peace in that exchange because you blessed him by being there, by not running away. I wonder a bit about the conflation we have between our own anxiety in the West and what these kind of people know about hunger and famine. Perhaps it's easier for us to see spiritual hunger when we see physical hunger. We know what it's like to not know where the next meal is coming from when you're in a country like that, and you have to start focusing all your efforts to make sure you eat and people around you survive. That reminds you of how hard it is to get to the heart of God sometimes and how hungry we are to see Him come visit us. It's easier to preach on those scriptures when you're in the face of those kind of famines or conflicts. I wonder in our country if what we talk about being anxiety or loneliness is really a spiritual hunger that's being misdiagnosed as something else, because we don't really know what it's like to have hunger pains in this country, usually. There are millions that are in our midst that do, but I'm saying as a nation state, we don't really talk about famine in our midst, but we are famished for things that are meaningful and true and give us purpose and give us love. So I know we're hungry for that. How do we use language like famine and hunger and those kind of things to talk about spiritual condition when we don't know how to use our own language well?
Yeah, that is missing from our concept. And a man said to me, why was I born in Yemen and you were born in the United States? It's a question that cannot be answered. But the experience is vastly different.
Yes.
The human nature is the same. The experience is different. We don't have that. And pray God that we won't face that in our country. But historically, things often happen that way. I can tell you a couple of other stories. One, this happened in Afghanistan. About 50 men, we sat on the ground in a circle and ate out of bowls that were provided. And we had rice and some meat, and we ate with our hands and all of that. We finished that. They brought a man to me that was dressed in rags, a gown, like burlap, and his arm was frozen stiff. He couldn't move it. And he stood in front of me and said, please heal me. I felt like I was in the place of Jesus Christ, who had exactly the same experience. A man came to him with an arm that needed healing, and he touched him and healed him. I couldn't touch him and heal him. But I said, how much would it take for the doctor to treat your nerve and restore that? They said, well, the doctor can do it, and it costs 40 dinars. I said, I happen to have 40 dinars in my pocket here. And so in a way, I was able to heal the man with the frozen arm. And so I was in the place of Christ at that moment. That was a very humbling experience.
Of course it is. You have the opportunity and standing in front of you, but we think about, well, I can't do what Jesus did. It's not a matter of whether or not we're going to. He commanded it. So it's a matter of methodology, right? He's going to give us the means to do things that may be miraculous in our own eyes, but are absolutely going to be miraculous in their eyes no matter what.
I think the answer is just when you have that sense in your own spirit, which is, I believe, the conscience, a part of the image of God in all of us, when you have that sense, don't ignore it, but respond to it. You'd be surprised where it might take you to do great things for the kingdom of Christ. But the main thing is that you are aware and that you respond and that you do it.
And a case in point for my travels with you in Uganda, we spend a photo opportunity with the prime minister there in Kampala.
Uganda.
Yeah. And then 2 days later, you and I are walking around the Bidibidi refugee camp in northern Uganda for all the Sudanese coming across the border on the worst land in the worst county with nothing to show for it. And there's hundreds of thousands of people. And you and I walked that entire hill. We're giving away whatever money we have in our pockets to those who can make a difference. People that were baking bread and giving it away to kids who had nothing. And then being led around by some elders that kind of gave us a tour. But speak about being famished. I mean, by the time you and I had walked around for 5 hours, we were pretty hungry. And I remember stumbling into a soccer match where these kids were playing a game, and we kicked the ball around for a while. The soccer pitch they were playing on was as big as their dining room here. There was little plants like okra and different kinds of vegetables that were planted in tight proximity to the hut they were living in. And at the end of that little encounter, you and I were just talking with the ladies, and they invited me to sit down right in front of the kids and take the first bite. Like, you'd never want that to come at you that way. You want the kids to eat first. But there's something about the honor and the hospitality culture that requires you to be a good guest. I remember taking a pinch of that little bread thing and dipping it in the sauce they had, thinking they must have just created this out of dirt and leaves, for as far as I could tell. I remember eating that first bite thinking, this is not just satisfying for my hunger. This is phenomenal. It was some of the best flavors I've ever had in my life. I've never had anything quite like it. So, of course, you have to demur quickly to make sure you end up eating more than you should, but pass it out to the kids and become part of the family and just distribute the food. Now you're part of them. You're not just the guy sitting on the outside. And so here I am distributing their food in Jesus' name to their own kids. It was so bizarre to me, but it was what the situation required of me to be present, to say that this guy from America was at our table. We got to actually have dinner with him. We got to hear stories of America. It was a big deal to these kids. And I got one pinch of a piece of bread that I could not get the taste out of my mouth after 5, 10 years. Those things are important.
I'm not advocating that everybody go to the biggest refugee camps outside of Goma in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is
difficult,
very
places.
Dangerous right now. One third of the women in North Kivu have been raped. This is a terrible, terrible situation. And I don't want to go to any country where 15-year-olds are carrying AK-47s. And so I cannot say that every person who is listening to this broadcast should get on a plane and go to a country, especially the difficult countries. That's a task that I've been called to, and Bram, you have, many other people are ministering. But we depend on the people in the country who are emissaries of the Christian spirit, who are doing their duty there. So what is our duty if we never travel to a place like that? I think it's just to cultivate the spirit of peace and the sensitivity that comes from being a part of the human family. And then just ask yourself, what is my obligation? And then connect. And I think that you have been doing such a great job over the years, as Norm Nelson did before you, and that is to inform people, inspire people about the needs and the opportunities. And so we at Conscience International aim to respond to the opportunities for, yes, peacemaking, but also helping refugees, especially medical things in clinics and hospitals. If we can get those prenatal vitamins in, I have 15 pallets of 3,200 bottles each of prenatal vitamins. One bottle, if I get it into Gaza, can save a low birth weight child a lifetime in a wheelchair. Mm. Who would not want to do that?
For the price of a bottle of vitamins you see on a shelf in Walmart.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're obviously, these things are specialized vitamins. They're medical. They're designed for the very situation that you will be stepping into. Obviously, I want to ask our folks in Compassion Radio's family to be praying for your access, that you'd be able to actually get there and have voice with those who actually control the flow of goods in and out of Gaza and West Bank. Because we don't want to see children suffer needlessly, and certainly not to suffer their entire life because we're unwilling to send a vitamin. And I'll certainly pray that you have access. And the second thing I'll pray is that we will be able to assist in somehow and send some gifts of money to help make it possible to deliver those vitamins in their places needed most. So I'll ask our Compassion Radio audience to be part of that if you can. Give what you can. We'll send what we can to Jim right away. Jim, final word from you on this broadcast. As you're facing the opportunity to speak to the world's elite in a beautiful place in Western Europe and then fly on to what seems like the burning armpit of the world right now, which is right in the heart of the Holy Land, what do you want us praying for you?
I think the presence of mind and the focus to deal with the essential things, because there's a lot of hue and cry and political posturing. But let's think about, we're commanded to be emissaries of peace. Mm-hmm. And so wherever we go, we take that peace with us, and that's sometimes difficult. But yes, please pray for not just me, but the conference that is recommending experts on this whole situation, that is recommending courses and steps to take that might lead to peace. In the past, we've gone right into the lion's den and tried to beard the lion in his den. It doesn't always work, but at least we had the right intention in doing it. So I think we want to have presence of mind and carry that peace with us.
And when you go in speaking these speeches, you end up with usually coining phrases, ways of getting new concepts together in mind so we can think a new way about things. And they have the way of actually getting stuck in the brains of people who hear you. And then who knows who they're going to be speaking to when they get home, because these people are all networked throughout their governments and their countries. Maybe this is an opportunity for the kingdom here to nudge a bit the heads of state across Europe, who are going to be stepping up in more ways than they ever thought they would, because it looks like they can't depend upon America as much as they used to. But who knows where your words might land and the ears and the hearts that might adopt them into something new. So I would pray that there would be a synergy of your creativity with language and telling the story and the hearts to be moved to change policy that will make doors open for people like you in the future to really reach those who are suffering the most and become peacemakers that way.
I've noticed over the years, Bram, that the first person who gets to the microphone and lays out a vision, either for war, resistance, peace, dialogue, whatever they say, has enormous power because it sticks in the minds of people. And all the other words that come after that almost are catching up with the initial vision. So your opportunities that you have in Compassion Radio to speak peace is, I think, so valuable. And so please keep up your good ministry, your good work, because it's inspiring to see what, over the years, Compassion Radio has been able to do.
Well, God's peace upon you, my brother. And may that shalom carry a very long way as you go. We love you, and we thank you for the friendship and the opportunity to have traveled with you. You were the one that invited me into the thing that was so precious between you and Norm at a time I needed to really see the world for what it was. And so I thank you for your mentorship in that as well.
And thank you.
My thanks again to Dr. James Jennings of Conscious International. As a mentor and a friend, he's the one that gives us probably the best view possible of what happens when the kingdom of God gets active in reaching out to those who need peace the most. We look forward to having him back soon for a report on what happened in the Middle East on this particular trip. I hope you'll tune in then. And concerning today's program, if you missed anything, just find the podcast streaming at our website, CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And our website is CompassionRadio.com. We'll see you tomorrow.